Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Holy Fire Ministries podcast. My name is Joshua Marthy. And guys, I am so excited for you this evening. We have one of my very good friends, a woman that knows how to pray, just an amazing friend of mine, someone that is just a rock solid person at the Prayer and Healing Center that I told you about just a minute ago during the intro, has taught prayer, knows prayer, more importantly, knows God, knows the Holy Spirit, and really knows how to flow and get things done in prayer. You know, a lot of people, they pray, but, you know, Jolene is one of those people that prays and sees results. And I think there's a big distinction there. So she has graciously offered to come on the podcast tonight and share some of the thoughts in regards to what are the foundations of a fruit for prayer life. How do you get to know God better? How do you flow better with him? And I'm really excited for this. I want to give her all of the time that I possibly can tonight. So as we get started, I'm just excited. Listen with an open ear and an open heart, guys. And just sit back and buckle your seatbelts and enjoy. It's going to be a great time tonight. So Jolene, first of all, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. And I just want to throw it over to you and let you rip, roar, and take off whatever direction the Holy Spirit guide and directs you, okay?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your giving me this opportunity. Prayer is my favorite subject, as you know. You've spent enough time with me to know that just about any time you talk to me, prayer is going to come up at some point. So we're going to kind of jump off and talk about basics of prayer. And really, and as much as I think about it, you know, there are so many basic things that it's almost hard to find a starting point. But I think that where I want to really start is God is a person. You got to know that he's a person. So where I want to take you is to Genesis. You know, Genesis, I believe it's 1:26. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So you have to know that when God created us, we could say it this way, that he used himself as a template.
I like that.
So, you know, people have this image of God that's not correct. Mm-hmm. We want to cue into who he really is. And when mm-hmm. we think of him, my question to people is, what is your perception of God? Mm-hmm. How do you see him? Because many people see him half angry, sitting on the throne with a giant fly swatter, you know, just ready to hit them if they take a step wrong or do mm-hmm. something, make a move that they think he might not like. And they kind of are like, cowering. But the truth is, he made us in his likeness and image. Mm-hmm. And we are like we are because we are like him. Mm-hmm. So if you break that down, you have to look at us. So for me, I like to laugh. You know, it was a revelation to me when I found out that God likes to laugh.
Yep.
You know, that's like a kicking like a religious cow right there, because people are like, can't even imagine a God that laughs. And, you know, he sings. The mm-hmm. scripture tells us that he sings over us. Mm-hmm. And just to imagine, if God created us, that means that God gave us every voice. So every voice that you hear sing, the beautiful ranges that people have, God gave that to them. So can you imagine what it would be like to hear God sing?
Yeah. Wow.
What a range. I mean, wow. He could go to the highest high and to the lowest low, everywhere mm-hmm. in between. And he's the one that gives us our grace giftings.
Yeah.
So everything that we're graced with came out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you begin to realize, okay, I'm made like him. So if I have feelings, then I have to recognize he has feelings. He has thoughts. You know, he has a personality. If you think about it, I've kind of done this before, just to think about different people. And usually I'm thinking about ministers when they minister. So many different personalities go into their ministering. And it's like, you know, that personality that each person has, that came out of God. Every personality came from him. And so when you think of the scope of that, it's such an amazing God. And the fact that that amazing God wants to know me.
Mm-hmm.
He knows my name. He knows everything about me, but he's not content just to know everything about me. He wants to visit with me. Mm-hmm. He wants to fellowship with me. He wants to hang out with me.
Yeah.
You know, he is the best friend that you would ever have. And so, you know, we've talked previously about, you know, why should we pray? Well, let's just throw that out of the mix and stop calling it prayer. And let's call it fellowship. Because really, prayer is just communion or fellowshipping with God. Mm-hmm. And so people will say, why should I pray? Well, think about this. If you have a best friend that's walking alongside you and you're hanging out all the time and you never have anything to say to them, how close are you really? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, who wants to hang out with someone that never says a word to them?
True.
I don't know if you've ever been in a room like you sit there and it's almost like no one has even acknowledged your presence. Mm-hmm. It's like a room full of people and they're going about and they're talking to each other like you're not even there. And it's not a very good feeling. It's not. And that's how God feels when we ignore him. Yeah, we can't see him, but he's there. Mm-hmm. He's a God that's always there. He's omnipresent. That's one of the things he is. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Omnipresent means everywhere he's present. You know, David in the Psalms, he said, where can I go from your presence? Mm-hmm. If I go up into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Mm-hmm. If I go to the farthest place of the morning, you're there. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter where you go. He's everywhere present. Yeah. So if he's everywhere present, I don't ever have to worry about whether he hears me when I speak because he's right there. And then when we're born again, he comes to live inside. And, you know, so many people, they're like, I don't know if God heard me. I've been praying and I've been praying, but I just didn't feel like my prayers got any higher than the ceiling. Well, they didn't even have to reach the ceiling. He's inside you.
Wow, that's good.
He lives in you, so they don't have to reach anywhere.
Yeah.
He hears you. The minute you open your mouth, he heard you. Hmm. He's everywhere, and he's always listening. Hmm. He's always listening.
Yeah.
And he's yearning. And see, people, we have these desires, and we have things that excite us, and things that we really want to do, and things that are our passion. Well, God does, too. And we think God has a passion. God has something that he really, really wants to do. Yeah, he really, really wants to hang out with you. So if he wants to hang out with you, it's kind of rude to ignore him. You know, it's like if you get in a car to go somewhere and you have somebody that climbs in the passenger side and then you just drive, you never look at them, you never acknowledge them, you never say anything to them. They're probably sitting there going, hello, I'm here. Right. I wonder how often the Holy Spirit is saying that. Hello, I'm here. Because
yeah.
You know, his desire is for us. You know, when God created the earth and he created his man, he created man for fellowship. The scripture tells us he came every day and he walked and he talked with Adam. And, you know, it's when you really study creation and you start learning the heart of God, you start understanding, man, when he created us, he wanted a man. He wanted sons. He wanted daughters. He wanted someone to fellowship with. And you think about it. Every creation that is in existence, man is unique. And people will try to tell us we're just another part of the animal kingdom. Emphatically not. We are not. God came down himself and formed us from mm-hmm. the dust of the ground, and he breathed his own spirit into us. And you know, the scripture tells us that the angels, they were watching in awe over this. And they're watching and they're like, who is this man? And they're looking as he's done creation. And really what he was doing was he's preparing everything for his man. Mm-hmm. He's getting the earth. He's getting it spinning. Why is it spinning? Well, we need gravity so we don't all float away. So he made everything just right. He makes a garden in Eden. He puts the trees for food. He's got everything ready for his man. This is his dream. He is excited.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
like pregnant with man. He's saying, man, I am going to have a being that's like me. Of course, we're not on his level. We're never going to be on his level. But he put creativity on the inside of us. And you think about it, and a lot of people read over this, but when he brought the animals to Adam, the scripture tells us he brought the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. That means he didn't give the animals their name. God did not name the animals. He led Adam because he had put himself into Adam. He had breathed his own spirit into Adam. And so now he's like, now let's see what my man is going to do with it. Because I'm up here ruling in heaven, and I want my man to rule on the earth like I did heaven. So let's bring him I'm giving him dominion. So let's bring the animals. Let's see what he calls them. And I almost can picture God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the three of them watching. They're like, okay, grab one. Jesus, go get one. Bring that animal. Oh, let's see what he calls them. Okay, Adam, what do you want to call this? And Adam begins to name the animals, and God is like so happy and excited because now his man, he's named the animals, and scripture says whatever he called them, that was its name. So Adam named it. So with us being made in the likeness and image of God, so when people say, why do we pray? Well, why do you talk to your best friend? Why do you share your heart with them? Why is it when something happens, what is the first thing you do? You want to go find someone, and usually someone you're close to. If you're married, probably your spouse or your best friend. Hey, guess what happened? Well, God is the same way. And he's saying, hey, I want you to come running to me. I want to be that best friend. I want to be the one you can share anything with. And he's big, so we can dump any problem on him. And he's like, I don't want you to worry about anything. Cast your care over on me. I got it. You just keep walking and living your life. And when you have an issue, hand it over to me. I'll take care of it. But we have this tendency that I can handle this, God. I got it. It's not too heavy. It's getting a little heavy, but I got it. I still got it. And he's saying, just cast it over. Just give it to me. I'll carry it for you. So why do we pray? We pray to get to know him, because even though he knows everything about us, we don't necessarily know everything about him. So when you talk about beginnings and basics, where do I start? Okay, so you've got to start with knowing a little bit about God. So we just shared about he's a person. If you will begin to look at him like a person, it will change your prayer life. He's a person. He's not this nameless, faceless, well, not nameless, but faceless entity that we can't see, that's like this blob somewhere. No, our form is like his form. He used himself as a template. So to get to know him, we have to go to his word. He gave us scripture to tell us who he is. He laid out in scripture his names. Jehovah Jireh, I'm the God who's your provider. I'm Jehovah Rapha, I'm the God who heals you. I'm Jehovah Shalom, I'm the God your peace. He gave us his names, and there's many names, that's just a few, but he gave us many names. But as we read through scripture, if we will read it with the intent to do what it says, we will start connecting with him. And that's what we want, is a connection. So when we're talking about prayer, you got to connect with God. Well, how do you connect with a person that you just met? Hey, let's go have coffee. Let's chat. Let's talk. So basically, that's what prayer is. It's just talking to God. And God doesn't want rote. I know it's common for a lot of people that they like to pray the Lord's Prayer. They like to pray, you know, this is what we pray, da 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 da. Well, again, God's a person. So let's look at it this way. Say if every time you walked in to the prayer and healing center, And I had a rote speech that I had memorized to say to you. So I say, good morning, Joshua. It's a fine day. Glad you're here. And then the next time you watch, you come in and I say, good morning, Joshua. It's a fine day. Glad you're here. Well, by about the sixth or seventh time, you probably walk by going, that girl's a Fruit Loop. What's wrong with her? Doesn't she have anything else to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he created us with a personality, mm-hmm. and he wants to enjoy our personality.
Mm-hmm.
And really what he just wants is us to be real with him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to try to come with some front, to try to be perfect. We all know we're not perfect. He knows we're not perfect. He's like, just be real. I just want you. I want you to come to me, good, bad, ugly. Just come to me. He's like, I can take care of it. And you know, when you start spending time in his presence, it's kind of like when you have a friend, and we've all experienced this, especially if you've had children. Get a new best friend, and pretty soon, new things start being introduced into their life. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, there's a new phrase or a new action that they're doing. And you look at them and say, who have you been hanging out with? Why? Because, you know, that my kid doesn't normally act like that.
That's the truth.
He doesn't normally talk like that. This is a new saying. So somewhere, you picked that up somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're hanging with somebody. And sometimes it can be a negative, and you're like, maybe you don't need to hang out with that person anymore because, yeah, they're not influencing you well. But God influences us very well. Mm-hmm. And so with time spent with him, we'll start picking up his personality.
Okay. Yep.
We'll start getting changed.
Yeah.
So why does prayer matter? Why do we need to pray? Well, we start getting transformed.
Mm.
We start picking up his thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and we start thinking like he thinks. So if you're saying to yourself, I hate the way I am, I have these things I do, maybe like for a person that has a bad temper, I keep losing my temper, I don't want to be like that, I don't want to blow up at every little thing, but I can't seem to help myself. Well, guess what? We're never going to be able to change ourselves. But when you get in the presence of God, he can change that.
Mm-hmm.
He can change anything about us. Say, Lord, I don't like this about myself. Would you change this in me? And he says, yeah, baby, I'll change that. Just come and sit in my presence. Let's just hang out together. I'll start rubbing off on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of like awesome when God starts to change how you are. Like for me, I used to be so impatient, and I knew, I'm like, God is doing a work in me when I would go to the grocery store. And my worst part was when I'd get to the checkout line and I would think they are so slow. And you know, you're doing the fidgeting with your hands, and I'd like, you know, kind of beat the cart with my thumbs. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Oh, my goodness. And when I got to that place where I would get in line and I would just patiently stand there, mm-hmm. with no anxiety on the inside saying, hurry, hurry, hurry. But I was at perfect peace. And it's like, it doesn't matter how long you take. And I'm thinking, this is not my normal way. I'm not normally like that. So what's happened? God has come in. He's starting to change that characteristic that I had displayed previously.
Yeah.
So you start with the connection, he starts changing you.
Mm.
And it's always a positive. It's always a plus.
Mm.
And so that's why we pray. Now there's two sides to prayer. There's fellowship prayer. That's that connecting, getting to know God. Then there's also what we call task prayer. That's when you go to prayer when something needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we say, well, we need to pray for our nation. Absolutely. We need to mm-hmm. pray for our nation. Mm-hmm. That's task prayer.
Yeah.
The more you get to know him, And the bigger he gets on the inside of you, the more confidence you place in him, that when you do start going over to task prayer, now I can start praying with some confidence. Mm-hmm. Because why? I have developed now a relationship with him. And it takes time to develop a relationship with anyone. So because I say you've got to start with the word, then I have a lot of people that will ask me, well, oh my goodness, I am intimidated when I set my Bible in front of me. I have no idea where to start. I tried to start at the beginning, but oh, I didn't stick with it because I just didn't get it. So, then I go through this and there's just all these names and da, 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 da. Well, of course you want to read the whole Bible, but my recommendation when I'm talking to someone that says, hey, where do I start? Mm-hmm. I always will give them the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I give them the Gospel of John is because each gospel was written to a specific audience. And when you begin to know that, it's better, you can better understand the gospel you're reading. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they kind of go on the human side of Jesus, because Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they center up more on the humanity of Jesus. And their target audience, Matthew wrote to the Jew. So that's why you have a lot of Jewish law and things of, you know, Jewish in the book of Matthew that you don't see in Mark and Luke. Mark wrote his book to the Roman, mm-hmm. because they were in Rome. And then Luke, he wrote his gospel to the Greeks. Mm-hmm. But John wrote his gospel to the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's us. Mm-hmm. He said, I wrote these so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so it falls on his deity side. Mm-hmm. So his divine nature is revealed in John. That's not revealed so much in the other gospels. And that's why I take people to John. In addition to that, I take him to John because John, according to himself, was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John was known for his love. He, above all of the other disciples, internalized that love, and he operated in the love of Christ. Mm. And so that's communicated through his book. But also, when you get to as far as prayer is concerned, I would always encourage people, read the whole book of John, of course, but to center up, really focus in on John 10, John 14, 15, and 16, because he's really talking about prayer in those chapters. In John chapter 10, he starts talking about him being the good shepherd. And then he says, my sheep, well, we are his sheep. If he's the shepherd, we're mm-hmm. his sheep. Mm-hmm. And he said, my sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I need to understand that as a child of God, the Spirit of the living God has come to live on the inside of me. And I have to know I can hear his voice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I got born again 5 minutes ago. He came into me and I can hear his voice.
Amen.
And how many people do you hear say, I can't hear him. Oh, I want to hear the voice of God. I mean, it's prevalent. It's even in the body of Christ, it's even in people that have been born again for years and years. Mm-hmm. I don't hear him. He doesn't speak to me. Why doesn't he speak to me? Well, that's really kind of a pretty easy question for me to answer. My answer, first of all, or I should say my question to them is, how much time are you spending reading the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of get that, well, I'm pretty busy and I don't have a lot of time and I don't understand it anyway. You know, all of those kind of comments that people make about for their excuses for why they're not reading the Bible. Well, I'll very confidently tell you the majority of the time that he speaks to you, it's going to be from his word. a scripture is going to pop out at you. Sometimes you may just open the book and there's a scripture right there speaking right into your situation. Sometimes it'll happen it'll be a scripture that'll get you ready for something that's coming. You don't even know it's coming, but here it is. And you're like, all of a sudden there's a scripture that's, for some reason, it's just pulling on you. It's like, I don't know what it is, but I have to read the scripture every day. Every morning when I get up, this is the first place I go. I'm looking at that scripture throughout the day. I just want to pull that scripture up and read it again. For some reason, this is speaking something into me. And so I have learned, when I have one of those scriptures, I don't try to go on. I just stay right there. I stick with that scripture because he's speaking something to me in that scripture. See, what we get messed up when we think, I've got to hear an audible voice. Something going on that is going to be him speaking. I'm going to hear my name spoken. He isn't going to speak like that. He's going to speak the way that you speak. I know one minister, he said, God speaks all languages. He even speaks Mississippi slang. So, and I said, well, if he can speak Mississippi slang, then he can speak Oklahoma.
Yep.
Okie, he can speak Okie speech. So wherever you're from, whatever way you speak, he will speak to you in the way that you understand it. So he's going to take his scripture and he's going to speak it to you. Just to kind of give you an example, because I'm a person of prayer and God had put the desire and the passion for prayer on the inside of me, that's my call. So it's important that I look at it correctly. So I'm in church one day and I had just rededicated my life. It was 2007. And the lady that she ran the women's ministry, she got up and she's got this campaign going and she's praying over it. And she's just praying and she's praying and she's praying. And I'm sitting there and I'm in awe of her prayer. And I'm going, I don't even know how she can come up with that much to pray. How does she? It just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And here my prayers are like 30 seconds and I've exhausted everything that I have to say.
Oh, been there.
And as you know, people are like, I don't know what to pray. And I kind of laugh because I'm like, been there. We've all been there. Everybody starts at the beginning. That's just the way it rolls. So I'm sitting there and we're in prayer and inside, I didn't say it outside, but inside, I said, she's an amazing prayer. I can never pray like that. And instantly on the inside of me, very strong, here it came up out of my spirit. And it said, those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, if you know, that's a scripture.
Yep.
It's a scripture. It's in one of the Corinthians. I think it's chapter 10, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 10. Anyway, one of those. But that was a scripture. I knew that was a scripture. But he took that scripture and he spoke it to me and he spoke it really strongly. And the reason that he did that, the reason that he spoke it so strongly to me is because that's my call. So he could not allow that kind of thinking to take root on the inside of me because I never liked to pray in front of anyone. I know it's kind of funny, you might think now, but at that time, I didn't want anyone to hear me pray. And the reason I didn't want anyone to hear me pray, because I didn't feel like I was eloquent at all. I was choppy, you know, because sometimes you can hear people pray and it sounds so smooth and it sounds so wonderful. And then you're like, okay, well, I want to say, God, I can't think of the word I want to say, you know, so I'm sounding like that. And so I'm thinking, I don't want to do that in front of anyone else.
Right.
God doesn't care. I know God doesn't care, but And you know, that's really a pride thing, is what that
That's
is.
true.
And although we don't like to think that we're operating in pride, but let's face it, we all deal with it. Every single one of us, we have to deal with pride. And that's what it was. And you know, the Lord will know just exactly what to do. And sometimes he'll come along and he'll push you out of your comfort zone. Because in that particular church, every Wednesday night, we would have this time where he would have all of us come together and get in small groups, and each one would pray over the other ones in the group. And I just hated that time. Oh my goodness, I hated that time so bad. And every Wednesday night, I'd be like, Lord, please let him forget. Please let him forget that part. And that man never forgot. He never forgot. But by the end of a year, I could pray over people.
Wow. Wow,
and it
that's
didn't
awesome.
Bother me a bit. And so, although when I started it, it really pulled me out of my comfort zone. I became comfortable. And then I would hear people say to me, man, I really wish I could pray like you. And I would just kind of laugh because I'm like, if you but heard me a year ago. But what I also tell people is, no, you don't want to pray like me. You want to pray like you. Because you need to know that God has put giftings and he has put supply in every person.
Yeah.
And God is the God of the unique. He is the God of, I call it the one-offs. In other words, billions of people on the planet, and we all have our own unique fingerprint. We have our own DNA. So God doesn't duplicate. He gives your own. And I don't know if you're familiar with Reinhard Bonnke.
Yes.
He said, and I loved this when he said this, and I thought it was great. He said, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and he went like this, we all get our own flame.
Oh, I like that.
You know, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, your tongue is different from every other person's tongue. You can have 100 people stand up and begin to speak in other tongues, and every single one would be different because we're all different, and all of our supply is different. And he's going to deal with me differently in prayer than he's going to deal with you. So basically, when you're just getting started in prayer, you're going to go to the Word. That's the first thing, is start getting in there and read the Word like it's God speaking directly to you, because it is. It is. And so I said I would start in John, but I won't leave you in John. I would also, I have four actually that I would give to start in John, but also 1 John, because 1 John goes into also the love of God. And that's something that we got to get solid and settled in, because so many people, they're like, I just can't believe God could love me. Well, he does. He sent Jesus to die for you. And he sent Jesus to die for you when you were unlovely, when you weren't thinking about him and you weren't loving him. But the scripture says we love him because he first loved us. He loved us first. So if he loved us first, what has my behavior got to do with whether or not he loves me? Well, I messed up. Yeah, so join the whole rest of the world. We all do. But that doesn't change his love for us. And, you know, all parents know this. You may not be pleased with the behavior of your children at times, but your love doesn't change for them. You love them just as much, no matter how they're behaving. So he loves us. And 1 John, it helps you to see the love that he has for us. And then I also like to recommend Romans. The book of Romans is very basic. Oh, it's such a good book. And there is so much in there, so much in the book of Romans. Oh, my goodness. That will give you a foundation. And then I like to give people also the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians is going to give you a picture of who you are in him. And I always say, when you start reading in the book of Ephesians, you really need to focus in on every time he says in him, in Christ, and in whom. especially those three, because that's telling you who you are in him. See, when we got born again, we became a new creation. The old man, he died. Now we are a new creature. We are a new species of being. We're a species that had never existed before. And so we have to know who we are. That's another basic thing that we have. And once we get that, who we are, then we start becoming a person that's powerful.
Yeah. Amen.
Prayer.
Love that. I love that. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. I think you, that man, there's so many things to go off there. I mean, I'm excited. I know we're kind of running out of time here, but man, I'm excited already for part two. I know part one has just been really, really good to go over some of the basics. And I like what you said there. Just about like knowing God on a personal level. And just for like the last, like a quick minute or two, when you were first starting in on your journey of prayer, was there kind of like a time where you felt like the, you like started like taking some real steps forward as far as like, okay, like I'm starting to hit a flow. I'm starting to get to know God better. Like something began to happen where you have like moments of, I don't want to call it just like breakthrough, cause that's, you know, like a term that a lot of people use and it could, like, what exactly does that mean? But what was it like for you, I guess, in your own personal level? Cause you know, praying, and like, I know we pray to get results and that's what you're talking about, is like, that's, we pray to get to know God and we get to experience him and encounter him. But what was it like for you when you were first starting off? Cause just to encourage people of like, hey, you know, keep going, keep pressing on.
Oh yeah. Great question. I'll tell you when my prayer life really took off, my connecting with God really took off, when I did what is referred to as practicing the presence. And what I did is I just began to practice the presence of God. And what I did was I said, Father, you are with me. You're always with me all the time. So I'm just going to start communicating with you and I'm going to start treating you like you're right here with me.
Yeah.
And so I just would start talking to him. And when I started, I would just start nonsensical talk is kind of what I call it. And the reason I call it that is because I wasn't praying per se. I call them, and I still do, I was chatting with him. So, hey, I'm just going to chat. And so I would, real quick here, my best story that I love to tell is I had a car that I had a leak in the tire. And every 3 to 4 weeks, I had to go get air in my tire. And so when I began practicing the presence, I'm in the car and I'm talking to him as if he's a passenger sitting in the seat. And I'm like, well, Lord, I got to go get air in the tire. You know, that thing leaks. It just, you know, the air just seeps out, you know, so I've got to go get air. I don't have a tire gauge, Lord. I'm going to have to guess how much air to put in the tire. And I'm just talking to him to maintain my awareness that he's right there.
Yeah.
And I pull up to the air pump. And when I go to get out of my car, this man pulls up in a big, one of those big monster trucks up there. He hops out of the truck with a tire gauge in his hand and he never said a word to me, but he checked the air in every one of my tires, aired up my tires and used the tire gauge. And that man never said a word to me. And my mouth was hanging open and I went, God, look at you. He responded to me.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we got a couple seconds left too. And I just wanted to say, first of all, I just love this, you know, getting to know God, an awareness of him, that is huge. So in those last couple, you know, last little bit here, I wanted to say thank you guys so much for listening. Part two is coming. And thank you again to Jolina. We're going to go ahead and cut it off right here, but get ready for part two. It's going to be awesome.